Our scripture this evening is from Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I am reading from the King James Version, because the King James Version is the one used by my friend Gus in 1822. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. A comment. Notice likeness here instead of the usual image that we use in the first verse. God created Adam in his likeness. Second, the familiar male and female. And then how about this? He blessed them and called their name what? Adam. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. What expressions do we have that reflect this truth? Chip off the old block. Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Yes, if we can go on and on. There are a lot of these expressions. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Thus far, our reading. Topic this evening. Why start a family? The way the question is usually phrased is directed to a fairly recently married couple, and you say to them, do you plan to start a family? That is a question that until not too many years ago would have seemed just very odd. But several developments have made it a reasonable question, and we ask it. One development is the development of reliable contraception. Now, people have known about contraceptive methods for thousands and thousands of years, but reliable only fairly recently. Secondly, there's an odd development in recent years that we have come to view children as a side gig to our careers. And since the children are a side gig to the careers, it's sort of like asking, so, do you plan to take up painting? Do you plan to continue reading novels? Do you plan to start a family, which means do you plan to have children? Now, somebody from 1822, an American, therefore reading the King James Bible, would, of course, retort to somebody from 2022, why would you not start a family? And so this evening, we're going to have a little conversation between Gus from 1822 and Hugh from 2022. And we're going to start with Hugh explaining to an incredulous Gus why not to start a family, that is, why not being married to have children. Gus, I can give you 10 reasons not to have children. You can glance at the clock now and calculate. 10, and then probably by symmetry 10 more. Good. I'm going to give you 10 reasons not to have a child. One, it's actually my social duty not to have a child. The world is full of people. Gus, it looks pretty empty to me. Now, ever since Paul Ehrlich published The Population Bomb, we have known in America that it was often your duty not to have children. What did he say? He said, there are so many people in the world, that it is inevitable. By 1978, we're going to have mass famine everywhere. People are going to die from no food. And we can't avoid it. It's done. And he scared the bejabbers out of people. So that's why it's your duty not to have children. Gus, it's 2022 now. You look pretty well fed. How did it turn out? Hugh. Well, actually, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen, and so it's our duty not to have children. In fact, people have taken this so much to heart that the number of children being born, it goes down and down and down every year. Isn't that wonderful? Except the governments are starting to worry. Who will pay taxes in 40 more years? Who will pick up the trash in 20 more years? Who will... But that's the government's problem. Okay, Hugh, I am not persuaded by that at all. Give me a second reason. Having children gets in the way of having your career. What is a career? I have a farm. There's my work. I take care of the cows. I take care of the fences. I take care of the hay. And my wife has her job. She takes care of the chickens, and she takes care of the garden. She takes care of the kids until about age 4 or 5, and then I get them. And what's a career? A career is the most wonderful thing you can have. You can be anything you want if you have a career. You can start when you're young and have a school career. And then you can have more school career. And then you can have more school career. And then you can have a career to pay off your debts, having had your school career. Gus, 2022 is out of its mind. Give me reason 3. Raising children is hard. Raising children is hard. Have you ever heard children? He took my toy. I need to go potty. You going to read to me? More. Me. Mine. Me. That's children. And finally they go to sleep. And you get 3 measly minutes with your husband or wife, and then you go, bam, to sleep, because the kids have just absolutely worn you out. Raising children is hard work. Gus, as hard as a career? Let me tell you about my work. My wife weeds the garden, and she gets the children to her help at about age 4. In fact, I have a friend who grew up on a farm, and then he got easy work building buildings. He said, that was great. And then he got an even easier job. He became a school teacher. He said, that was better. And then he became a preacher one day a week. But what I do is hard. Have you ever helped a cow give birth? I'll spare you the details. They are messy. Actually, no hard work, no future. In fact, I could add to that, no children, no future. Hugh, you're going to need to give me a better reason. All right, reason 5. Having children ages you. Well, you look awfully pretty to me now. But you know, Hugh, in 30 years, you're going to look old no matter what you do. How am I going to feed and clothe them? Hugh, it's time you heard something that Jesus said. I'm going to turn here in my old family Bible to chapter 6, verse 26, actually 25. Pick up Acts 24. I think you need to hear 24, you. Matthew. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and career, you. Therefore I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? No, don't worry about tomorrow. Yes, but I do worry about tomorrow. How will we pay for college for them? We can't have another child. How are we going to pay for college? You weren't listening. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why are you worrying about 18 years from now? Or 14 in my world sometimes. Or 23 in my world sometimes. I guess in your world, everybody is kind of an automaton. Oops, anachronistic word. Kind of a, always doing everything the same. Don't worry about college. Actually, I don't know how college would ever help me. Would it help me be better at taking cows, care of cows? Would it help me be better at taking care of chickens? Would it help me bringing in the hay? What is college for? I know, you're going to say career. Okay, so college is for career so that you can borrow lots of money and have a career and then pay off the money to have the career. Okay, I get it, you. All right, I'm going to give you another reason. My family wasn't very good. My wife's family wasn't very good. It wasn't very happy. We're afraid we're not going to do a good job. Gus, you, that is the first intelligent thing I have heard from you. If you are not afraid when it comes to getting married, you're a fool. If you are not afraid when it comes to raising your children, you are both impious and unaware. You raise your children on your knees, Hugh. You raise your children praying to God. And, actually, now let me ask you, Hugh, did your parents do that bad a job with you? Are you that bad a person? Well, no, really, I've really done a wonderful job with myself. No, really, Hugh. Are you that bad a person? No. Well then, if you have trouble, you can ask your parents for help. Grandparents love to give help. Too many people ruin the earth. We're back to that one again, too many people. Hugh, God put us on this earth to be fruitful, and multiply, subdue the earth, and make it beautiful. My farm is beautiful. When I got here, there were rocks strewn all over the fields. We picked up the rocks and we have these beautiful stone walls. They make borders. Now you can grow things there. We've been around long enough and we've got a couple of dogs and the wild animals, they've decided to retreat further. Farms, they're beautiful. And they give us food. Have you ever, Hugh, ridden your horse through 2 or 3 days of uncultivated wild forest? No, I drive a Lexus. All right, next topic. Why else would you not want to have children? Well, our friends don't have any children, and if we had children, we wouldn't be like them anymore, and that would be a reason that we wouldn't get along so well. We couldn't just suddenly go out to dinner, suddenly go out to a movie, suddenly go out to the Flyers game. We just couldn't suddenly do that if we had a child. Children tie us down. Our friends are childless. What a sad society you live in. You want to imitate these friends? You want to have sterile friends with no children? You want to all be voluntarily sterile? You know, I read once there's a way to be voluntarily sterile. Why don't you just do it? What is there to live for other than your children? Don't tell me career again. What is there to live for other than your children? And who will take care of you when you are old? Remember, you told me you're afraid of getting old and it's going to happen anyway. Well, who's going to take care of you when you're old? Now, we'll talk about that later, Gus. The government has it figured out. There is, I got one more reason. Actually, our parents have been discouraging us. Our parents have been discouraging us. They've told us it's expensive, you know. They've told us it's a lot of work, you know. Before we go on to the next 10 questions, which is, Hugh says to Gus, okay, your turn. Tell me why you would want to have children, and then you have to answer me. But a little interregnum here. After Paul Ehrlich's book, American population birth statistics go almost straight down. 1973 is the smallest birth cohort, and it follows only 9 years after the end of the baby boom. It was very fast. And so my wife and I had 2 children, and we're walking around often in this part of the world, a boy and a girl. And we would have complete strangers stop us and say, ah, what a beautiful girl. What beautiful family you have. You have the perfect family. You're not going to have any more, are you? Regular. I mean, it was worse than, where's your mask? And it was without apology, and truly intrusive, and it was frequent. Further story. As we're getting ready to plan to go to Athens, Greece in 1978, we say something, and my mother misunderstands. And she thinks we have told her that number 3 is on the way. And she catches her breath and says, well, if that's what you want. And then my wife called up her father to announce number 4 on the way. And she heard on the phone, ah, really, dearie? There are things to do, you know, to keep this from happening. Now, that was supposed to be a joke. When it came to number 5, he just said, oh. So, yes, parents sometimes discourage, friends discourage, the whole society discourages, and there are more important things like career. Okay, so, Gus. Now, Gus, you've been around for a long time, so I suppose that means you're either suffering from dementia or you're a very wise person. So, Gus, tell me, why in the world would you want children, or did, and why should I want children? God told us to have children. It says in the very first book of the Bible, in its very first chapter, to the very first male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So, That's the reason to do it. Hugh. That sounds pretty inauthentic to me. When you just do what somebody else tells you, then you're not doing it out of yourself. No. You decide whether you have children. You don't just do something because, well, some God somewhere tells you to. All right, well, let me give you a second reason, Hugh. Children are a blessing. It says God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Psalm 127 says, children are a blessing from God. Hugh, what is this blessing? You say one before a meal, right? But tell me what you mean by blessing. Well, a blessing is something really good that you get from somebody, and when God blesses you, he gives you his good things, and he says children are some of the goodest things he can give you. Don't correct my grammar. All right, give me a third reason. I'll bet you don't know the answer to this question, Hugh. Who was the very first father? Adam. Wrong. Let me read to you from the Bible. Luke chapter 3. You do like to read the Bible, don't you? Yes, Luke chapter 3. This is the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes backwards from Jesus all the way back through David and back through Abraham and all the way back to the beginning. And it ends with, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. God made Adam. He made man, male and female. He named them Adam, and he made them in his image. In fact, now here's an idea for you, Hugh, to think about. Have you ever seen a painting? Down in the bottom corner often is the painter's name. If the whole world is God's creation, and it's even better looking than a painting, he's put his signature in it, and you are his signature, and I am his signature. So God is the first father, and when I am a father, I am like my Father in heaven. And in fact, he tells us when we pray to pray this way, our Father in heaven. So when we have children, we are like our Father. God tells us to be like him. Gosh, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around that one. Reason number four, please. When a man and a woman marry, they can marry for lots of reasons, but in our early romantic era, Rousseau has been around and written, in our early romantic era, we marry for love. And then we make love. The Bible's way it says, then Adam knew his wife. And then out comes a child. And look what happens. What was love between two people becomes love between two people and a third. What was one line connecting two points becomes three lines connecting three points. Do you remember your Euclid, Hugh? And then there's another child. And now you have 4 points. And love goes in 6 directions. 1, father, mother, child, child, father, this way, this way. Euclid gave us a nice mathematical formula for this. With each child, the amount of love increases by a huge amount. If you want to know, stop. You're making me very nervous. I don't want to hear I'm going to tell you anyway. N times N minus 1 all divided by 2. That will give you all the lines of love in the family as it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And in this way, we imitate not only our Father in heaven, we imitate God who made the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A dance of love before the world ever was. And Jesus says, I want you to have love the way my Father loved me before the foundation of the world. This is some deep theology, Gus. We don't do theology in 2022. Give me another reason. Eating dinner around the table with everybody there is about the most consistently joyous and happy thing in human life. But it's there in Psalm 128. Let me read it to you. Another verse? Yes, another verse. Psalm 128. I'm going to read to you how God blesses, there's that word bless again, how God blesses the person who fears the Lord. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know the vine over there? That's the picture. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. You have an olive tree, and then it sends out shoots from itself and pops up another olive tree, and then pops up another olive tree, and pops up another olive tree. So, Hugh, when you've got 3 or 4 or 5 children, you can sit down and say, "Ah, my wonderful olive trees. You dear little olive plants. Use your fork." You dear little olive plants. And there isn't nothing much more fun. Gus, you sound like a Norman Rockwell painting. Okay, I don't know who Norman Rockwell is, but if he portrays this, I think I would like his paintings. All right, here's number 6, a reason to have children. This is a very sad thing for you to know, Hugh, because you don't want to get old. But you are going to die, and after you die, nobody will remember you. Your people at work who praised your work and said what a wonderful career you've had, they won't remember you. Who's going to remember you longest? You're going to tell me children, aren't you? Yes, I am. Children are going to remember you longest. Maybe your grandchildren will remember you. In fact, Moses gave a law that when a man got married, he was exempt from the military draft for 1 year. It's in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. And the point was, it's put very delicately, but the idea was, that was long enough to get a baby on the way. And then his name would be carried on. You know, that sounds rather tribal to me. God doesn't care about Amazon tribes, does he? Yes. All right, reason number 7 to have children. They will take care of you in your old age. Jesus criticized the Pharisees for trying to get out of taking care of their parents in their old age. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, don't let children shove that off onto the church to take care of old people. That's on the children. And if the parents are dead, it's on the grandchildren. It's in 1 Timothy 5:8. Ah, Gus, you do sound like you're from 200 years ago. We have Social Security and pensions and 401ks and IRAs and Roth IRAs. You ever heard of a Roth IRA? Probably not. They will take care of us in our old age. Hugh, let's talk about this a little bit more. If you have your pockets full of gold and you are 85 years old, you can get somebody to take care of you if what? You? If there are people to take care of me. Yes. And if it's not your children, who's going to take care of you? Other people's children. Yes. Immigrants? Yes. But you know, it's awfully expensive. Well, now, I know I have been reading that it's truly shameful in our society how much elder care is being done by children. People think we should have more government programs to do that. And little children before they go to school, too. Mm-hmm. Yes, and who's going to do all that work? Guatemalans. Gus, you know what, you cannot repeal this law. You will get old and need to be taken care of, and somebody's children are going to be doing it, or nobody's going to be doing it. Your safest bet is to have your own children who might feel some responsibility to do it. God tells them they should do it. No, that's an excellent reason to have children. Take care of you in your old age. And here's reason 8. Hugh? It's a privilege to raise a child to serve God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. And this is what I... Well, let me read it for you. Malachi 2, verse 15. It's hard finding my way quickly through this old family Bible. Malachi 2, 15. And did he not make one, meaning one between husband and wife? Yet he had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. No, God wants a godly seed, and so he wants parents to raise godly children, which means their family has to be a family where love prevails, and it has to be a family where God is worshipped and served, and it has to be, I could go on and on, but that provides a direction for shaping your whole family, you, and it's wonderful. You know, Gus, I don't really live to try to serve God. I have a right to the pursuit of happiness. And I have been pursuing happiness all of my years. And it's been fun pursuing happiness, and children would get in the way of happiness. And so I don't want children because children make you unhappy. You know, Hugh, every now and then you have glimmers of good sense. Children sometimes make you unhappy. In fact, having children is about the greatest adventure you can embark on. If you want to just live for safe, 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 I call it safetyism, Hugh. Having children is an adventure. Actually, more of an adventure than planting a garden. When I plant a carrot, I always get a carrot. When I plant watermelons, I always get watermelons, not cucumbers. When we plant a child and he starts to grow, each one is different. And you can't really predict and control fully how things turn out. It's an adventure. A much bigger adventure than going and discovering for the umpteenth time the North Pole. But I'm going to give you one last piece of advice, Hugh. This is from God. He says it over and over and over again to wimpy people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by my right hand of my righteousness. You're living a life of fear, and that's why you don't want children. My advice to you, man up. Have children. Now, neither you nor Gus wanted to talk about the really scary things about having children. One, God may withhold a child, and you aim to have children, and you don't. All the way through the Bible, portrayed as a great sorrow. Two, your child may rebel. Jesus told a parable about that, which we call the prodigal son. And just because in the parable he comes home doesn't mean such sons always come home. Three, death can leave somebody a widow. Death can leave children without fathers, sometimes without mothers, sometimes without either. Life is harder for those children. War comes. Famine comes. Plague comes. Persecution comes. Exile comes. All these awful things happen to families. And if you have children, sometimes things are actually more difficult at the time that these things hit. Sometimes husband or wife turn out to be psychotic madmen. Sometimes they turn out to be something entirely other than advertised. Nope, sometimes sin just blows families apart. And that's why having children is an adventure. It's for grown-ups. It's for people who fear the Lord and trust Him and have courage. Now, there's a minor theme somebody may be asking about. What about people whom God calls not to marry? Good question, not tonight. Who do you think has the better way of thinking, Gus or you? You know where my sympathies lie. And let me give you one final, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely excellent reason to have children. Go ahead, start a family. Children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The children often boast to each other, at least they used to, my father can beat up your father. Actually, that was the world I grew up in. That was a child's boast. And the parents' boast is, would you like to see pictures of my grandchildren? Of course you would. I've got them right here in my pocket. Yes. And let me tell you what he said just yesterday. Yes. We saw a bumper sticker a while back. If I had known how much fun grandchildren are, I would have had them first. Some years ago, as my wife is coming up here to take care of William. She's sitting under the dining room table playing with him. And her son came home. Who are you and what have you done with my mother? Yes, that second childhood of old age, grandchildren give you the excuse to, well, have grandchildren. Now, if you end up with the grandchildren in your hands for too long, you need to turn back into mom and dad. Otherwise, well, it'll be too bad for you. But I leave that as a final reason. God loves the generations, and we do too, of grandparents, children, grandchildren, down through the generations. And this is our calling. It's the command from the beginning. Now, what about if, and I'm going to give one last objection. I would not bring children into such a world as this. I've heard this more than once. It sounds really kind to those children, doesn't it? And of course, reaction one is, and how bad is your world, really? Next reaction. God says to his people, well, at the very beginning, imagine if you were Adam and Eve and you had really, really blown it in a great garden. And now you were kicked out forever. And God said, you're going to die. And then you have two sons. And it doesn't turn out well. One son kills the other son in a fit of jealous rage, and then that son gets exiled. Would you have another child? It's a good thing our first parents did. We're descended from him. And we have it right there in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Or how about if you are a nation of slaves in Egypt? And the Pharaoh has said, from now on we kill all the baby boys. You can imagine people saying, well, this is too dangerous to have children, but Amram and Jochebed went ahead with child number 3. Without that, there is no Moses for God to send back to Egypt to call his people out of Egypt. Or what if you are in exile in Babylon? What was once a great nation that had the whole eastern part of the Mediterranean under its control. And then you're reduced to a small exile band in Babylon, and you get a word from God's prophet, don't think you're going home anytime soon. What should you do? And Jeremiah says, you should do this. Get married, plant vineyards, have children. Get married, plant vineyards, have children. And if they had not done that, Israel would have just disappeared like many other peoples. Have you heard of the Amalekites lately? They're gone. But the Israelites, they're still here because they obeyed God. And then there were all of 40-some thousand to go back with Zerubbabel to Jerusalem. And they grew again to a nation of several million by the time Jesus is born, probably more than that. It's through the obedience of God's people, beginning again, even in the worst of times, marry, have children, that the earth is blessed, and God's very first command, never revoked, to be fruitful and multiply, is carried out. And on that punctuation note, we will end the sermon, and John will take over with some prayer requests.